ready to hear argument in 04-1104, Richard Feith and Stephanie Feith versus State Farm Lloyds.
Okay, Mr. Court, in Boston, Mr. Sherwell, they want to look at the appellant and the inspection department of the attorney's inspection. The appellant is our 5 minutes for the buzzer, no one wants to first amendment, no one is involved.
May it please the court. After a split of authority, the Fifth Circuit certified to this court the interpretation of this policy language from the old Texas Homeowners B policy. This language is the mold exclusion. We do not cover mold. This is the ensuing loss provision, which is an exception to the mold exclusion. We do cover ensuing loss caused by water damage.
Can mold ever be caused by anything but water?
Well, all mold requires water to live, as do human beings, but that not all mold is.
I'm just wondering if it could be caused by anything but water. If it stays dry, is it ever going to have mold on it?
Your Honor, all mold is caused by water in the sense that this oral argument is caused by water because I need water to stand here. I wouldn't live without it. All life needs water. But it's not water damage.
Well, you think there could be, so you think there's some mold here that would not be covered under the way you read the policy?
An example of that is from Yates, Your Honor. Yates makes the distinction between condensation that is not water damage and a plumbing leak or a burst pipe that is water damage.
But condensation is water.
Yes, Your Honor.
Maybe it is a small amount, but it's water.
But it is not, as Yates explained, the direct intrusion of water that is implied by the term water damage. The term damage must have meaning in the policy. The water doesn't say, or the policy doesn't say, any mold caused by water. It says any mold caused by water damage.
It just seems to me, reading your position, that mold is almost always going to be covered.
Only when it's caused by water damage.
But isn't that almost always?
You
think it'd be a rare event that it was caused by water damage?
I do not believe that Yates was a rare event, Your Honor. That there's
you just don't have any idea whether it's going to be likely or unlikely that mold is caused by water damage.
Your Honor, I can't give you a percentage on that, but there's
no any idea.
An idea
of how often it's going to be that mold is covered by water damage. You just can't tell.
Your Honor, there's mold in this room right now today, but there's no water damage.
What happens if you have a hailstorm, like it did in Central Austin a few days ago? A hail busts through the roof, busts through the side. It's going to melt, turn to water. Mold ensues. Is that covered?
Unless there is another exception for windstorm, I'm not certain of that, Your Honor.
The home is covered for hail damage, but not mold. Hail busts through the roof or busts through the house. Eventually will melt, comes water, and mold arises from that.
And of course, in that case, in a fortuitous event of that nature, as a practical matter, I would expect that the roof would be fixed because you would know about that. It's not a roof leak that would not be noticed, and hereby that and the damage would build up over a period of time. That's going to be fixed as a practical matter.
What happens to the mold damage? If there's mold that results from the hail, for one reason or another, is that covered?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, if the hail is water, if that's water damage, of course, in a way, that's an undecided issue that you're not being asked to decide here, Your Honor. The Fifth Circuit has not certified the question of how to define water damage. They have asked if water damage, mold caused by water damage, is covered.
Well, I understand the question. I want you to answer whether or not, in that scenario, coverage is applied in spite of a mold exclusion.
Your Honor, in my opinion, it would be, but there is no case authority on that. The opinion that I'm giving is that, in my opinion, ice is a type of water. Whether or not a court might decide that hail is not water damage, it is a different type, like ice damage, that's an issue that has not been decided by any court, and that is an issue that could go either way.
So you've distinguished coverage for mold that arises from certain types of water intrusion and certain mold that's not covered by other types of water intrusion, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Your position, at least in part, is that roof leaks and plumbing leaks, which cause mold, is covered.
Yes, Your Honor. That is the position of the case law. Yes, Your Honor.
So is there some temporal aspect to your argument? I mean, if the leak has been going on long enough to cause mold, then that's gonna be covered.
Your Honor, the length of time is not really the issue. If it is water damage, then it's going to be covered. The mold ensuing from that is going to be covered because the mold exclusion does not apply to water damage.
The mold just doesn't appear. There is a length of time that is necessary for the mold to grow.
As a practical matter, that's true, Your Honor. It takes time for anything to grow. But mold can grow rather quickly, given, you know, some types of mold. But that's not truly the legal issue that we're here to look at today. The issue we're here to look at today is whether or not there is a mold exclusion.
The legal issue is whether or not this insuring loss clause expands coverage. That's what the issue is. And that's your position, that it expands coverage that has otherwise been denied.
It is an exception to the mold exclusion. That is clear from the previous language of the policy. This court held in Ballindron that this language does not change the coverage in the previous policy that states the mold exclusion shall not apply to water damage. That is the water damage exception to mold exclusion. The water damage exception to the mold exclusion. And that is the critical point that State Farm ignores. There is an exception to the mold exclusion for water damage and ensuing loss from water damage. And State Farm will never explain to you the scope of that exception. What we're talking about most of the time here today is exactly how to define the scope of that exception. What defines water damage? But that's not truly not what State Farm is arguing. State Farm is arguing there is no exception at all, not how to define it. They're saying, at least they have two different positions. They have their exception position and their clarification position on different pages of their brief. But their main position seems to be that this is merely a clarification, or a reminder that does not change the coverage at all. Whereas all of the cases, including Lambros, the cases relied upon by them, say that this language is an exception to the mold exclusion.
After that second ellipsis, it says, if the loss would otherwise be covered under the policy.
Yes, Your Honor.
Where does that take you in the policy? Where is it otherwise covered?
The meaning of otherwise, Your Honor, is in a different way or in another way. In other words, in some language other than this language of the policy. And outside this language of the policy, we have the policy limits, we have the term of the policy, we have other exclusions.
Policy limits don't tell you what's covered, do they?
Yes, Your Honor.
You have policy limits in every policy, but you don't know if it's homeowners or car or what it is.
Exactly, Your Honor. But if the water damage in this case is outside the policy limits, it is not otherwise covered by the policy. That is the meaning of otherwise covered. All water damage of whatever amount, even over the policy limits, does not become covered because of this exception to the exclusion. And that is the purpose of the otherwise covered language. The otherwise covered language does not change the fact that this is an exception to the mold exclusion because the exclusion does not apply to mold.
Groundwater not being covered, flooding, that sort of thing, the policy excludes flood damage is an example of that.
Yes, Your Honor. So
mold resulting from flood damage would not be covered under this interpretation.
That is, flood exclusion is outside this language of the policy and therefore is not otherwise covered. And, Your Honor, I am running out of time if I want to give 5 minutes to the state, to the Texas Department of Insurance. So I would like to terminate my argument and hand it over to the Texas Department of Insurance.
The court is ready to hear argument from Texas Department of Insurance.
May it please the court, my name is Sarah Wells. I am an Assistant Attorney General for the here on behalf of the Texas Department of Insurance today. The unambiguous terms of the HOB policy, when they are read as a whole, absolutely provide coverage in this case.
So it was just a waste of time for the circuit to certify that question to us.
I, Actually, I told the Fifth Circuit that I believe...
Judge Higginbotham's just an idiot. He should have gotten this straight.
Judge Higginbotham believed that the case was of such importance to Texas that you should be the one to decide it. I notified Judge Higginbotham that I believe they could decide the question, and they have decided for Texas law reasons, and because it is an important question to many policyholders in the state, that this court should be the one to answer the certified question, and you've chosen to accept that challenge. And we do appreciate that. The HOV policy is an all-risks policy. We're not expanding coverage. We're talking about an exception to an exclusion. And so
define water damage.
Water damage.
How's it different from a water intrusion or water leak? What do you mean by water damage?
Water damage is defined by case law in many different contexts. I don't have an absolute broad definition for water damage. And I think that may be something that somebody could argue about later. Well, is this water damage? The question is, is there water damage that's in the FISA situation? And in Texas law, when you have water damage, whatever water damage may be, when you have water damage and you have covered water damage losses, and that covered water damage loss turns into mold, mold is an ensuing loss, but the covered water damage loss, is that covered? Absolutely it is, because this ensuing loss provision reads, clearly mold is not covered, nobody has any problem with that. Mold by itself, if you can't trace the source of the mold to a covered water damage loss, you're out. The mold is not going to be covered in any circumstances.
Your brief says that most mold is caused by water damage. Is there any other scenario that causes mold?
There is not another scenario that's going to cause mold that I'm aware of as far as water damage. However, the key to the water damage is if the loss would be otherwise be covered under the policy. The water damage must be a covered water damage event. And that's where it's narrowed to exclude all kinds of mold. It's not all kinds that are inclusive here.
Can you give the court an example where the policy provides coverage and the ensuing loss cause section, the policy denies coverage.
The policy...
And then it's later added coverage in the policy under your argument under this ensuing loss section of the policy.
Okay, mold would be excluded if we have a...
Other than mold, is there any other example?
Other than the mold, such as a different exclusion, such as rust?
Policy doesn't cover for wind storm.
Okay.
And then is there a scenario such as that where the policy comes back and provides coverage?
Okay, I think a good example would be, I think it's in some of the briefing, the rust, which is excluded along with the mold up here, exclusion. Rust itself is excluded. Rust or wear and tear is excluded. Rust or wear and tear cause a pipe to burst. Rust, the pipe damage is excluded. The insurance company should not have to pay for the pipe to be replaced.
Which is $10 or something.
Maybe, depending on what kind of pipe. Or how big or how many pipes you have that burst. The pipe itself is not covered. The pipe results in water damage. That's a covered water loss under the policy. The damage results in mold. It's all ensuing from the covered water damage provisions. And to be clear, this situation results from the mold crisis that everyone's aware of that happened back in 2000, 2001. What they're arguing in this case, State Farm is telling this court, those old mold cases that the insurance industry paid hundreds of millions of dollars for, that they increased all the homeowners insurance policies in Texas. They increased the premiums. It rose to such a rate that the legislature intervened. The legislature directed the Department of Insurance to consider rate reductions. The department did so. Rate reductions were ordered. We're still in litigation for that. What they're telling you is, back in the day, those old mold claims were never covered. That is inconsistent with their testimony before the department. That is inconsistent with their own pre-filed direct testimony in the rate reduction legislation. That is inconsistent with what they asked for when they begged for new policy forms.
I just want to be sure that I understand your position, though, which is that apart from these provisions, the policy covers water damage.
Yes. It has broad water damage coverage.
And if it weren't for these exceptions, it would cover mold.
Yes.
And then there's an exception and says no mold.
Right.
And then there's an ensuing loss policy, and you think that covers all of the mold that would have been covered but for the exception.
It covers mold that would have been covered except for the exclusion if the water damage that caused the mold is a covered loss.
But that would only be the case anyway.
No, because it may be that a flood, maybe the house was flooded, and because the flood damage and the water damage was so extensive it didn't all get cleaned up in time and it caused mold in the house also, because, that's excluded.
Because flood is not included.
Because flood is not a covered water damage loss.
Which is what happened. Because this is a flood policy.
This is an HOV policy. And if the Fifth Circuit determines that the loss or the jury, whoever the applicable party is, determines that the loss was caused by a flood, then there will be an exclusion and there will be no coverage. In this case, there's a dispute about the cause and whether it was flood-related or plumbing-related or something else caused it.
Are there any further questions?
One other question. So if there's a roof leak and water soaks the carpet, that replacing the carpet is covered, in your opinion. If there's water leak through the roof that causes a lamp or an electrical appliance to short out, that's covered, in your opinion.
As far as I'm aware of the policy, yes, because it is an all-risk policy with broad water damage coverage.
If there's a roof leak and water seeps down and causes mold, then notwithstanding the exclusion, we do not cover loss caused by mold. You think that is covered because of the ensuing loss provision?
It is covered as an exception to the exclusion because when you bought the broad water damage coverage that Texas provided at the time and still does provide, although it's been modified since by the mold order in 2001 as brought in the briefing, this exception to the exclusion says when you paid for the water damage coverage, you paid for whatever the water damage.
So the answer is yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And if there's a flood exclusion in this policy,
yes,
then rising flood that enters the house and causes mold is not covered.
Absolutely.
So as long as the water comes from a covered source, then the mold is mold damage, remediation, all that's covered in your opinion.
With the caveat that in 2001, the HOB policies were changed as far as remediation is covered.
But this
policy, yes, it would all be covered under this policy.
I have one question.
Yes.
Give me an answer in this scenario. The policy, as I read this exhibit here, does not provide for damage caused by, a loss caused by rot. There's a flood, a 2x4 or some supporting beam rots out, it collapses and hits a wire, the wire comes loose and for whatever reason causes a spark and there's a fire. Is that fire covered?
I believe there's a different exclusion related to fire, so I'm not sure. I would have to look at that exclusion.
Could you give me an example where it would be covered under this ensuing loss provision?
Where mold would be covered under the ensuing
rot?
I'm sorry?
The initial situation was caused by a flood. It caused a stud or a beam to rot. That beam collapsed, hit a wire, caused a spark, and there was a fire. The policy doesn't cover for rot. If not for the rot, there wouldn't have been a fire. There's an ensuing clause provision. Can you think of a scenario when the ensuing clause provision would provide coverage?
Would provide coverage?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
What about on a broad form fire policy? You have a fire policy. Wouldn't it be covered?
Possibly. It depends. I'm not familiar with fire policies and things of that nature. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Any further questions? Thank you, counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from the appellee.
May it please the court, after surviving 5 years of a mold crisis of unprecedented proportion, State Farm is thrilled to have a chance to finally be before this court to seek relief to this vexing question. The answer to the court certified question, we believe, is no, and the easiest way to look at that is by looking at the ensuing loss clause in two parts. The first part, where it looks at ensuing loss caused by water damage, Second, looking at the last phrase, if the loss is otherwise covered under the policy. The first part of that phrase, we believe, is very clearly resolved under this court's decision in Lambros. Lambros and the other seven Texas decisions from the intermediate courts, or the one federal court that has considered this, and following Lambros, have recognized that the ensuing loss clause is very simply designed to clarify that coverage that has always existed still exists, even if the cause of that loss is an excluded peril, such as rot, or animals, or mold, or anything else. If something ensues from that, it's simply trying to prevent someone from being over-aggressive and taking away that coverage that otherwise exists under the policy.
Is your argument this morning consistent with your argument before the TDI?
It is, clearly, Your Honor. What happened is that when mold claims started, they were a trickle out of Corpus Christi in the Rio Grande Valley. And State Farm, when those few claims came in at the end of 99 and early 2000, made a business decision to pay those claims, reserving their rights, informing the insurer there is a serious coverage question here, just like we did in this case. State Farm, when it made that business decision, as any other carrier, had no idea the avalanche of mold claims that would engulf this state over the next few years.
But did you testify that mold is a covered loss, a covered ensuing loss when it's caused by water damage?
What State Farm did was it articulated its business decision that it had extended coverage benefits to their insureds until this issue could legally be resolved. The TDI's own briefing at tab 1 to you, the adoption order at page 58, recognizes that coverage argument, recognizes Lambros, and says that TDI disagrees with it because the insurance companies have been paying claims.
In any event, the form has been amended now.
Since been modified, although...
And this has been expressly excluded. I mean, there's no more issue about, well, there may be some tangential issues, but, and the premium dropped.
That's basically right, Your Honor. There are still some carriers, as one of the amicus briefs points out, that are still selling the HOB. And there are multiple ensuing loss provisions in other parts of the policy.
But my point is, a higher premium was collected on the premise that this would be covered.
No, Your Honor. Under the new policies, mold is excluded unless an insured wishes to buy mold coverage and they pay that extra premium. With respect to any past premiums, it didn't have anything to do with a recognition of coverage. Premiums were paid on losses, and losses include all losses paid out by an insurance company.
But I guess my point is, once the form was changed to make this clearly excluded, the premium dropped. So those who were paying a higher premium before were just doing it gratuitously?
No, Your Honor. The premiums have done different things for different carriers based upon their loss history. And what happened is that insureds could say, we want no coverage, we're disclaiming any mold coverage, and their premiums did different things based upon their carriers. Even within State Farm, there were rate differences based upon loss history and insurance issues and geographic location issues, and so you can't generalize like that. The point is that State Farm has always taken the position in communicating to its insureds in lawsuits that there remains an unresolved coverage question until we could get to this court.
Well, so you're saying that this is the first time you've been able to address this legal issue in this case?
We have addressed it in numerous prior cases. This is the first one to get to this level.
Okay, but I guess my point is that either you paid out all these hundreds of millions of dollars in claims voluntarily, or you haven't asserted it in any judgments, in any cases have been tried to judgment up to now.
What has happened is that a couple of different scenarios. First of all, those claim payments you referred to, just like in this case, by and large, were done with reservation of rights, telling the insured, we're going to provide you with this claim payment to give you the benefit of the doubt.
because Texas, as this court well knows, has serious legal and economic incentives to pay questionable claims. 2155, 2121, all of those statutory provisions, and so we did that. In legal issues and in motions, from motions to trial cases that have gone forward, we have consistently raised this issue. Every single case that we have tried, that State Farm has tried, has resulted in a verdict in its favor, or resulted in a verdict that resolved the case in a manner that was satisfactory to State Farm. And you've got this case being the first one where a motion for summary judgment in our favor went to the Fifth Circuit, and then that issue finally came to this court on certified question. We just haven't had the opportunity, despite trying in hundreds of lawsuits, to get the issue here. And one of the problems is most courts, knowing that there was a split in the lower courts, have simply refused to act on the question. They would deny our motions for summary judgment, saying there's no guidance from this court. They would put off our summary judgment, trying to force us to trial, trying to force us to settle, so that we wouldn't have to face a jury in Corpus Christi or the Rio Grande Valley or some other jurisdiction where that case is pending. So we have consistently tried to resolve the issue, and it boils down to a very simple interpretation of, is the interpretation offered by the FISAs and TDI reasonable? And it's not, for a couple of reasons. One, it completely removes ensuing as a meaningful term in the policy, because under their analysis, all you have to have is water damage that's covered, and if it causes something else, that takes care of the caused by language, and ensuing becomes meaningless.
Does the ensuing clause of the policy ever expand coverage?
Never. Absolutely never. And there's not a case that is a published opinion that has recognized that, we think, in conformity with Lambros. Lambros says you can't do that because Lambros says it comes from the peril, but the excluded peril is never, ever covered.
What's the purpose of the ensuing clause of the policy?
To clarify that those coverages that have always existed still exist, even if they arise from an excluded peril, like rot. The other thing that's significant about that is that while their interpretation makes ensuing meaningless, it also makes damage in the phrase water damage meaningless. Because under their interpretation, you don't have to have water damage, you just have to have a covered water event. A plumbing leak, for example. You don't necessarily have to have water damage just because you've had a plumbing leak. For example, underneath a house that's built on a pier and beam structure when water just goes out on the ground. But yet that would still be a covered loss, covered water event under their interpretation, making damage completely meaningless.
What do you mean? What do you think water damage means?
Water damage under Texas case law means injury or destruction to physical property due to water. And there are numerous scenarios where you could have a release of water but have no water damage. And under their interpretation, they make water and water damage the same thing. Fifth Circuit, going back 30 years to the Yates case, says you cannot do that and engage in the proper rules of construction. The other fatal problem the department and the FISA's position has is it doesn't work when you look at the other ensuing loss provisions in the policy. The handout that I gave the court highlights in yellow the other ensuing loss provisions. And the significant things here, I think, if you look at G dealing with animals and H dealing with foundations, you can see how their backward interpretation doesn't work. Because if you have under our proper interpretation, under Lambros, with animals, a situation where an animal chews on a pipe and results in water being discharged, that water is covered because it's otherwise covered. But you can't apply that logic backwards, because you would never have a situation when water would ensue or result in or cause animals or animal activity or anything else. The foundation example is even a better illustration of why what they want you to do is inconsistent with the Blandrin decision. Because under their interpretation, if you have a covered water event, and the covered water event means the prior exclusion is meaningless and goes away, that means any covered water event is going to result in all foundation damage or all foundation movement being covered. And that is the precise argument that this court heard, addressed, and rejected in the Blandrin decision. This court addressed the Blandrin decision limited to peril B9 and a completely different part of the policy, even though the parties in that case advocated that kind of interpretation. And this court said no. But adopting
after the events of 2000,
2001 and 2002, how many cases like this are left, do you think?
Several hundred. State Farm has approximately 280 such lawsuits still pending just for State Farm in the state of Texas. Based on my knowledge and work for other carriers, I think that number would exceed 1,000 when you count all the different insurance companies selling this product in Texas.
Under
this particular policy. And those, by the way, are pending lawsuits. That doesn't include the numerous claims that are still being turned in, because what people do, knowing their policy is now changed, will say, I have now discovered mold in my bathroom. I think it might be related to that kitchen leak that I had back in 2002 under my old policy. Please come investigate. So this policy, even though it has been changed, is still generating some claims today for State Farm and other carriers. So it remains a very important issue. The other thing I want to point out for the court in the time we have is that the phrase, the loss otherwise covered in this policy, is critical. And the analysis that TDI and the FICES engage in don't give those terms proper meaning, or in some respects, any meaning. The phraseology is important and requires us to look at two little subsets. The first is the words, the loss. What does the loss modify? Under their interpretation, the loss refers to the collapse of building, the water damage, and the breakage of glass. And they say if those things are covered, then the exclusions go away. But the loss modifies ensuing loss. It modifies it because of the similar terminology. And just as a basic rule of English, it is a parallel noun that modifies the preceding direct object. The direct object, and we do cover ensuing loss, the direct object's ensuing loss. So the parallel phrase, the loss, is modifying the direct object. That is critical, because if the loss modifies ensuing loss, and if this court recognizes the continuing validity of its decision in Lambros, then the question is, what is ensuing from the excluded peril, not vice versa? And that is a critical distinction when it comes time to ask, is it otherwise covered under the policy? Because if the issue is water flowing from a rusted pipe or a rotted roof, if it's water and if it's otherwise covered, State Farm and every other insurance company in the state is going to pay that water damage claim like it has for decades. But if it's backwards and it's water damage that results in mold or results in rot or results in rust, you apply that last clause and you say, are those things otherwise covered under policy? No, mold is otherwise excluded under policy. No, rust is otherwise excluded under policy. No, rot is otherwise excluded under policy. So that interpretation is very critical. The other thing that I want to address here, if you properly define loss, is otherwise covered. What does otherwise covered refer to? Otherwise covered is significant because it is not something that takes away the exclusion. Lambros, the Merrimack case from the Dallas Court of Appeals, the Danielle case that Justice Green and his colleagues on the San Antonio Court of Appeals decided in 95, the Yates case from the Fifth Circuit, and the Zidin case from the El Paso Court of Appeals, all of which we discuss in our brief on page 16, say that otherwise covered does not mean that the exclusion just disappears. It says that you look at the loss and say, is it otherwise covered under the policy? Because the definition of otherwise, common, ordinary, dictionary definition, is in all other respects.
It just seems as if the case law really were that clear and supported your position that strongly, there would not have been as many payments made and the crisis that gave rise to the 2001-2002 events.
Your Honor, the alternative was absolutely catastrophic, because if State Farm had ignored the strong legal and economic incentive to pay questionable claims and instead said we're denying these across the board, remember the media frenzy. Remember the local media attention. Remember the bad science and the quacks running around scaring people that something in their house was killing them. And also remember that most of these claims arose and certainly started out of the Rio Grande Valley and Corpus Christi. State Farm and every other insurance company in the state would have been bombarded by breach of contract, bad faith, insurance code 2121, insurance code 2155 claims, and faced
risk exposure.
That happens all the time. You could have nipped it in the bud as well if you'd gone to court at the beginning and none of the crisis would have come about. I mean,
But Your Honor, what happened is that what would happen is to get to court, one of two things would have had to happen. We would have had to sue our own insureds in multiple cases in multiple jurisdictions, which State Farm is not happy to do. Or two, it would have to make a business decision to pay none of these claims and let the avalanche of bad faith lawsuits start. Its own attorney's fees, its exposure to plaintiff's attorney's fees, its exposure to all of those extra contractual damages would have been a far worse catastrophe than the many, many millions of dollars it faced in instead trying to control the problem, trying to deal with the department. Remember, this wasn't going on in a vacuum. At the time, State Farm was begging the department to act. Instead, they chose to study it for more than a year. They were begging the department to change the policy form which State Farm had on file going back to 1998. They waited until 2002. Every single time we got sued, we raised these issues in affirmative defenses, in motions for summary judgment. The reality is it just takes years to get here, and the alternative was a cataclysmic avalanche of bad faith lawsuits that we believe would have put the company out of business in hindsight.
There is some reference to out-of-state cases.
Yes, sir.
But it's not clear to me to what extent these precise problems that we're worrying about here arise in other states. Can you enlighten us on that?
Yes, sir. There are 15 other states that have been addressed either in our brief or in the Amici briefs of Farmers and Texas Farm Bureau that have addressed those states, and they all have ensuing loss clauses. There may be subtle differences in the policy, but I've read every one of them, and they are immaterial differences. They are all designed to do the exact same thing. And from the Washington Supreme Court to the Florida Supreme Court to the Arizona courts to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, every single one of them consistently adopted our same construction of the policy. Recognize the ensuing loss clause for what it is in preserving water damage coverage if it's otherwise covered. Saying no, ensuing mold is not covered. Ensuing rot is not covered. Ensuing rust is not covered. Some of those cases we cited, for example, from the Oregon Court of Appeals and from the Florida Court, specifically dealt with mold cases that started as copycat litigation arising out of the Texas experience. And those courts were able to address it quicker than this court because of their judicial system, and they were able to, as someone said earlier, nip it in the bud.
Counsel,
we simply couldn't do it.
As you know, it's not our task here to decide what the public policy of the state of Texas should be. We're being asked to interpret a contract between parties.
Yes, sir.
Are you saying that it's, and we try to divine that from the words of the contract, are you saying that it's State Farm's position that no mold is covered in this policy?
No, sir.
Or what circumstances then under which there's mold infestation would there be coverage?
First is in a Blandron situation where you had
a
Blandron situation that with this court's decision in Blandron where you would have, for example, damage to personal property caused by the discharge from a plumbing system. Under the Blandron decision, there is an exclusion under peril B9 for the accidental discharge of water that says the mold exclusion does not apply. So there's coverage there. It would also be compensable, although not covered, if there was mold on water-damaged property. If there is mold on sheetrock that has been water-damaged, as a part of removing that water damage, which is compensable and has always been compensable, the mold will be removed. And coincidentally, that's how mold has been handled for decades. Unlike Blandron, when there was evidence before this court of foundation damage being covered forever, that's not true in mold. Mold was dealt prior to 1999 and 2000 as being just an incident to water damage. And if there was mold on water damaged property, it was ripped out and removed. If there was mold on non-water damaged property...
There's no way not to do it, is there?
No way not to...
Not to remove the mold when you take the...
That's right. That's right. And that's why it was done. You just simply remove the water damaged property, the mold comes out with it. If there was mold in other places not water damaged, which is what 99% of the cases were that led to the mold crisis, then, you know, prior to the time it was a crisis, people would just wipe it down with bleach just like any of us would do in cleaning our bathrooms or kitchens, and it wasn't a big big deal. It became a big deal in 99, and it was the tortured interpretation of the policy that led to the crisis.
But this, the events, crisis or whatever, did not occur in other states?
Other states copied the Texas trend, and the courts in those other states, ultimately, in most other states, they had totally different policies to start with. State Farm, for example, sold one policy in 49 states and had to sell this policy in Texas. That changed in 2000. But people, I see I'm out of time if I can answer your question, in those other states, they tried to squeeze mold coverage into those other policies, some of which had ensuing loss clauses, such as the 15 states we've cited to you, and those courts, 2-1, said there is no ensuing loss coverage for mold. There is no out-of-state authority supporting the FISA or TDI. On behalf of State Farm, thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
One of the first things that was said in the presentation there is that Lambros states that the ensuing loss clause merely clarifies that a loss already covered is still covered. Your Honor, search the Lambros opinion. It does not say that. The Lambros opinion says the ensuing loss exception to exclusions I, J, and K. It is an exception to the exclusion. That's what Lambros says. In fact, you search, do a Westlaw search of clarify in the same document as ensuing loss or the policy language. You will find nothing. The first time this clarification, reminder, reaffirmation interpretation first came up was during oral argument at the Fifth Circuit. This was briefed before they came up with their clarification interpretation. And you only accept the interpretation of the insured if it's the only reasonable interpretation. He's asking you to accept an interpretation as the only reasonable interpretation that he didn't think of until after he briefed it at the Fifth Circuit. As the Texas Department of Insurance puts it, this is a little bit ridiculous. And consider also that he cites cases from other states. The other states have subtle differences in language, like not mentioning water damage. Not a single one of the other states have an ensuing loss provision with a water damage exception where the mold exclusion does not apply to water damage. Not a single one. That is not a subtle difference. And you need to remember that if there's any ambiguity in the insurance policy, it's ambiguous because State Farm has two different interpretations in their brief. I mean, on look on page 5 and page 16 of their brief. They say it's an exception. Look on other pages in their brief. Look on page 35 on their brief, and they say it's a reminder. On some pages it's an exception. On some pages it's a reminder. And if there's any ambiguity, as the ambiguity in State Farm's brief, you resolve that ambiguity in favor of the insured if the insured's interpretation is not unreasonable. And is it unreasonable to use common language? All that my client is asking is that you use the common and ordinary meaning of the policy. He claims that our meaning
in that vein, counsel, the policy perhaps could be clearer. That's not to say that it's ambiguous necessarily, but if State Farm and your client wanted to agree by contract that some mold is covered and some is not, instead of saying we do not cover loss calls by mold and then having an ensuing loss provision that doesn't mention mold, they could have said mold from plumbing leaks is covered, mold from floods is not.
And the policy could have been worded differently, as indeed if this court held in Stroberg that if you're going to have a preceding cause, as they claim exists, it has to be clearly spelled out. And I'm not 100% certain I'm answering your question, Your Honor. Call me if I'm not. But the policy does spell out a preceding cause in other parts of the policy. Look at the nuclear exclusion. The nuclear exclusion says that we do cover direct loss caused by fire, proximate cause, and that is results from nuclear reaction, a preceding cause. Proximate cause, fire, preceding cause, nuclear reaction. That is clearly spelled out in the policy.
policy, as is required under this court's decisions in Stroberg and Blaylock. State Farm wants to use this ambiguous policy language to do the same thing, to achieve the same result, even though it does not say that. All it says is that that the mold exception does not, or the mold exclusion does not apply to water damage. And the term water damage itself may be ambiguous. As the courts pointed out, we have a lot of questions on what constitutes water damage. If that term is ambiguous, it is construed in favor of the insured. But there, you do reach a level that under any reasonable interpretation, condensation is not going to be considered water damage. Moldy bread in your refrigerator is not water damage. There's no water damage involved in a lot of mold. I can't give you percentages, but it only requires water damage and the loss ensuing from water damage. And we want this court to use the common ordinary meaning of ensuing. The common ordinary meaning of ensuing, as used by U.S. Supreme Court, Texas cases, statutes, what we've all cited in articles by layman that we have cited in our brief, ensuing has one proximate cause. That is, the loss ensues from water damage.
Is it your position that any time there's water present from a leak originating from inside the house, that constitutes water damage?
Yes, Your Honor, I cannot think of an exception to that. And I am out of time.
Any further questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes this argument and all arguments this morning, and the clerk will now adjourn.
All rise.